Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y a todos los
Good afternoon. Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and to all the ministers, brothers and sisters in the different countries. Today, Friday, January 3rd of this year, 2025, our subject is Words of Greetings that our brother William Soto Santiago gave us on Tuesday, April 25 of 2006 in Torreón, Coahuila, Mexico. Let's search in the book of Revelation in chapter 10, verse 7 and on. It says, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophet. In a Bible study, in that quote, from that verse, he underlines and circles the part where it says the mystery of God should be finished. He underlines and circles that. And there at the bottom he writes, the seventh seal equals the second coming of Christ veiled in flesh. The seventh seal equals the second coming of Christ veiled in flesh. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, the Word made flesh at the last day, which was preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Saturday, July 5 of 2008 in Cali, Colombia, and he tells us, Elijah will be there. The ministry will also appear. In addition to the ministry of Elijah, he will manifest the ministry of Moses and also the ministry of Jesus, which are the ministries promised to be repeated at the last day. And because it was the angel of the covenant who operated them in Moses, in Elijah, and in Jesus, he will operate them again at the last day. We will have in our midst at the last day the promised Word made flesh at the last day, and the works that have been promised that God will do at the last day, and we will be hand in hand supporting all those divine projects that are promised to be carried out by the Word made flesh at the last day. And we will see the 10th cathedral appear. We will see the preachings that will be held there appear. In other words, notice that in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, there are preachings there. In other words, therefore, there has to be a veil of flesh in whom God could be manifesting himself, and the Holy Spirit would be speaking to the people through that instrument. He says, we will see the preachings that will be held there appear. We will see the altar calls appear. We will see the part of prayer for the sick appear. We will see all those things appear. But remember that everything begins in a progressive way. Notice, the third pull is by and through the Holy Spirit operating the ministry of Jesus, of Elijah and Moses, and it is through that instrument, and that third pull is by the spoken word. In other words, the first and most important thing is the revelation, the rapture in faith, which is contained in the thunders. We will see the altar calls appear. In other words, those are stages and phases of the seventh seal of the third pull. We will see the part of prayer for the sick appear. We will see all those things appear. And the time will also come when we will see the dead in Christ appear, who will be resurrected, and the living who will be transformed. Notice, everything has an order and a time, and God does not jump ahead nor fall behind. Now look, on page 115 from the Book of Quotations, on the paragraph 10:19, He tells us it is uniting time of God and His bride too. And I say this with reverence and respect. I believe that the bride of Christ is called. I believe she's sealed in the kingdom of God. I believe the mechanism is there. They are waiting for the dynamics that'll take her of the earth into glory in the rapture. The dynamics of this church will be the refilling of the Holy Spirit. There he draws a cornerstone in the ages to the left, that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when the head and the body unite together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will rise her up just exactly like that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years ago will rise in the beauty of His holiness and take a flight to the skies. There he writes at the bottom, that is, he draws a Star of David on the bottom left in that corner, and he writes the mechanics. Then at the bottom he writes the dynamics and an arrow towards the cornerstone that he draws there, and the ages going down. And below the dynamics he writes the refilling. And at the top left he writes the cornerstone. And above, look, he writes several scriptures, Revelation 11:3. Let's see here, 9 or 19, from 11 to 19, 7 verse 2 and 14 verse 1. And he also writes there the resurrection and the rapture. Now, those scriptures are in between there, because notice in the 10:12, where those scriptures are also relevant, meaning it's just as much for this paragraph 10:19 as it is for the paragraph 10:12, because look what it says in 10:12. It says, then Luther being the first reformer, he come out with justification. Here comes Wesley with sanctification. Here come the Pentecostals with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The church constantly getting into the minority to greater powers when the enemy comes like a flood, and he writes river on top of flood. The Spirit of God will rise a standard against it, and now we've left the Pentecostal age. On the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and the seventh age, and there is an arrow there towards the cornerstone, and above that paragraph he writes, God will rise a standard against the enemy. And there is where I mentioned that on the right, by that paragraph at the bottom right, those scriptures are there, Revelation 11:3, and also 19 from 11 to 19, and 7 verse 2 and 14 verse 1. And that is where he writes above the 10:19, he writes the resurrection and the rapture. And now let's also turn to the page 116. On the paragraph 10:28, it tells us, that's the reason I do believe when that bride is called out and elect and said in the book of life, there will come a sound from heaven that'll take such a baptism of the Holy Spirit into that bride that'll take her from the earth in a rapturing grace. God promised it. And there, on top, he writes, baptism of the Holy Spirit equals the fullness. And he also writes, there will come a sound from heaven. In the message, God reflecting Himself, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, which was preached on December 25 of 1992, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, he tells us, and the seventh angel messenger on page 469 of the Book of the Seals in Spanish, he said, this is the angel who was more notable than the rest, and this is the one with the seventh seal. Let's turn for that for a moment to that scripture, that portion that is in the Book of the Seals on page 545 from the book in English, which he refers to there. He says, and did you notice that one angel I said in there was a strange angel? He looked more to me than any of the rest of them. You remember that? They were in a constellation, three on a side and one on top. And the one right next to me here, counting from left to right, would have been the seventh angel. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember? I said he has his chest out like that, and he was flying eastward. You remember? Like that, I said, it picked me up, lift me up.
You remember that? Here it is, the one with the seventh seal, the thing that I've wondered all my life. Now, look here. In this book of the seals, in the red book of the seals, he writes there, the angel who had the seventh seal equals the angel of Jesus. And he also writes, one of them was a very strange angel, and there he writes, Moses and Elijah. And he also writes, he was the one who had the seventh seal equals Moses and Elijah have the second coming of the Lord. And he also writes there, who will be the man in whom the second coming is fulfilled? Now, notice that this angel who was different from the rest is the angel who has the seventh seal, is the angel who has the second coming of the Lord. Now, that angel had to be made flesh. Now look, also this one in the blue one, he also writes below, the angel and his message comes from west to east, the seventh seal. Now, our brother William continues to say here, he is the angel who has the seventh seal. He is the angel who was there in the west, in the constellation, looking east, knowing that even though he is in the west, he has to go to the east. In other words, he knows that he has to go to the east. It goes on to say, he is the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who at the end of time will be in the west once the seven stages or ages of the Gentile church have finished. In other words, once the dispensation of grace has ended, once the dispensation of grace has finished, once the door is shut, as a dispensational messenger, his message is for all those who will enter into the dispensation of the kingdom, beginning with the elect from among the Gentiles and then going to the elect of the Hebrew people. On page 81 from the Book of Quotations, paragraph 690, it tells us, part of Brother Jackson's dream about the pyramid, he said, look upon this, light has never come up it before, and when all of them got up, there he draws on the right a cornerstone and the ages, and when all of them got up, I told them to watch that, and all of them come up to look in. But he said, while they were looking in, he looked out of the corner of his eye, and he writes there, corner of the eye, that is, by the, he looked out of the corner of his eye, I believe it was, and watched me, I slipped up, and he writes, Elijah, the one side, and started going towards the west, towards the setting of the sun, going up a hill, going down a hill, coming up a hill, going down a hill, getting smaller and smaller, and went all the way out of sight. And he writes on the right, west, Tucson, a type of Latin America and the Caribbean. And he said, then when I did that, He said, then the brethren turned around after a while and said, did he vanish? Where did he go? And said, some look out that way, some took one way, and some another. But a very few stayed and look on to what I have told them. And he draws to the right a star of David, and he writes, a few stayed and looked on to what I have told them. And he writes, I'll see you on the island. And there he writes below, a few stayed and looked on to what I had told them. I will see you on the island. And above he writes, Elijah went towards the west, towards the setting of the sun. Now notice how there he says that few stayed and looked at what he had told them. That is why he, in many messages, our brother William told us, search the messages of Brother Branham, because as he said and foreran how the coming of the Lord would be, the second coming of the Lord, that is how the elect would have to wait for it and receive it. As he said it would be, that is how it would be fulfilled. Now look, our brother William continues to say, and notice, all of this was reflected, shown there in that cloud of eight angels that was photographed. There God was reflecting something great that he would be doing on earth. And there he showed the seven angels of the seven past ages. Now, in heaven, God shows the things that he will then do on earth. We also find that the seven angel messengers will return with the elect of the ages whose messenger they were. They will return in the resurrection of the dead in Christ. They will return at this end time, and they will join the angel messenger who was very different from the seventh angel messenger. Now notice, where will they join when they return in the resurrection at this end time? Well, they will join that messenger where that angel who was very different from the rest, different from the seventh angel messenger, they will return to that instrument where that angel is manifested. And they will be here on earth in a great gathering that will take place at the end of time. For that reason, the seventh angel messenger was shown a number of events that will take place at the end of time, where God's glory will be manifested and where the pillar of fire will be doing a number of greater things. And he was told, or rather, he said, I saw the pillar of fire that always accompanies me. I saw it whirled away me, and it went to speak to someone else. There is a portion here of the message, the third Exodus. In this message, on page 40, look, it tells us, our brother Branham speaking here, on this portion, on page number 40, it says, when Peter was in prison, the pillar of fire came in, opened the door, and took him on the outside. That's right. Where did that pillar of fire lead them? Now remember, Moses was not the pillar of fire. He was an anointed leader under that pillar of fire, and the pillar of fire only vindicated his message with signs and wonders. And that pillar of fire led them to the land that God promised them, where he himself would be made flesh among them someday. And there on the left he writes, made flesh. That's right. What did they do? Murmured and squirmed and everything else to show it was under the blood of an ordinary lamb. But this time, glory to God, the pillar that we see among us, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, where he will return to his people in that great millennium reign after this Exodus, where we will live eternally with him. He always has the word of the Father, always proves that it's right. And he writes on the right there, leader, anointed with the pillar of fire, anointed. Now, our brother William continues to say, where he is quoting from the book of quotations, he says, and our brother William says, And he says that then he went to that place where the pillar of fire was talking to somebody else. And he says, and what I saw and heard there, I have to take it with me to the grave. Our brother William says, because he was told, this is the third pool and you won't tell anyone, as he had told the people of other previous stages of the divine program on other occasions. On page 12, it tells us in the paragraph 97, notice in a portion there, that page number 12, and the paragraph 97, the paragraph on the right, more than halfway down, where it says, then I began to explain to them the exact method told me by the angel of the Lord. That was the first and second pool. I got so excited trying to show the ministers how to fish that I jerked the lure completely out of the water, catching a fish about the size of the lure. It seemed as though the skin of the fish was stretched tight over the lure. I wondered how I would ever get it off. The angel of the Lord walked from behind me to my right side and came directly in front of me, the same one I have always seen, tall man, strong, the size of a 200-pound man, large arms, dressed in white robe, barefooted, dark hair. Remember that this is an angel, a body from another dimension. He looked me straight in the face and said, he writes there on the right upwards, he writes, the angel dash 200 pounds. And another sentence in the same place upwards, he writes, dark hair. And another sentence going upwards as well, he writes, 10 skin equals olive. He looked at me straight in the face and said, just what I told you not to do, you did. I thought, this is the end of me now. He said, the first time I told you to pull slowly and to keep quiet about it was when I made known to you the diseases of the people when they would put their hands on yours. Your second pull was when I told you to pull faster and keep quiet about it. It was when I, and there he circles I gave you the visions to know the secrets of the people's heart. And as you predicted what I told you, I did just what I said to you. Instead of keeping quiet about these things, you got on the platform and made a public show of this divine gift. Look what you have caused, a lot of carnal impersonations. At the top he writes there on that page, in that portion, he writes, the angel was the one who gave him the visions to know the secrets of the heart. Now, also on page 4a, there he also narrates that part that tells us that it was forbidden for him to speak. Look, on 4a, paragraph 36, it says, he said, you have done just what I told you not to do, standing on the platform and trying to explain it and telling the people, and I told you to keep it to yourself, and said, look what you have done. Look at the carnal impersonations you got rose. See? And I hear people say that, and I hear people say, Brother Branham, oh, the Lord gave me a ministry, you got probably greater. Yeah, but just like that? No, never will be as long as I am on earth. Notice that the new ministry would be operated by the Holy Spirit when Reverend William Branham would no longer be here. In the days when Brother Branham was on earth, that angel who was different from the rest had not been manifested, who was the fulfillment of the third pool, the word being spoken, which contains the thunders, the rapture in faith. He told me that in the beginning never will be, see, as long as I live. Now, he told me that, and I hear people say that, and I know it's wrong, but I just don't want to, how to tell them that. And he writes on the right upwards, not while he is on earth. And on top of it, he writes, the tenth vision, the two pools, the two pools, the tenth vision, the two pools. And he writes, don't say anything. I told you to keep it to yourself, to not tell anyone, nor to preach it. Now, notice it says, our brother William continues saying, because he made known the two previous pools, he had many problems, and the work of God had many problems. But he says that the angel said to him, I will meet you there, and you will tell no one what this third pool is. You will not tell anyone what you have seen and heard there. He was also told, do you remember the name you were hunting for when you first saw the vision, when you came to know about this? All those things are connected because the eternal name of God will be there. Why will the eternal name of God will be there? Because the eternal name of God will be in that instrument, in that manifestation of the angel who was different from the rest, because he comes with a new name. Now, he goes on to say, now, he will be carrying out a very great and very important work in favor of all the children of God, starting with the firstborn of God, and then he will continue with the rest of the children of God and with the Hebrew people. Now, we also find that in dreams and visions, God reflects his work and reflects himself. It is like, there is a place here in the Book of Quotations where he says, and he writes that it was Brother Branham reflecting himself on page 25, which is one of the narrations of the tenth vision. That's the paragraph 211. He says, in a portion here, let's read that from the beginning until we reach that part where he writes that. He says, and it's been told me some time ago by a vision that the Lord gave me some year ago, I suppose, or maybe a little more. I have it wrote out in a book at home of a changing of a ministry. And then some time ago, I was in a vision and I saw a large tent. Oh, it was a mammoth big affair. And I had just been speaking and many souls were at the altar and were just kind of weeping with their hands up quietly and softly. Now notice that this is one of the things that we read a few minutes ago, the part where Brother William speaks to us about how we will start seeing the appearing of, notice, preaching, altar calls, we will see prayers for the sick appear. Notice how all of that will start being fulfilled as that fulfillment of the seventh seal unfolds. A nice, gentle spoken man came out to the platform and said, now they will form the prayer line while Brother Branham is making ready. And he writes there, Elijah reflecting himself. See? Because God was reflecting himself in Brother Branham. Now, notice also on page, let's turn to page 77 of the Book of Quotations, on paragraph 668. It tells us, day before yesterday morning, I had a vision, and I thought that I was the happiest person I've ever seen. I was standing in the sun, S-U-N, and was preaching the gospel to a large mammoth congregation. There on the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and in the cornerstone, he makes rays around it, and he writes, Sun, S-U-N, above. And on the left, he writes Revelation 14 from 6 to 9 and 19 from 11 to 21. That is the white horse rider of Revelation 19. I just wanted to see if it was being taped, a large mammoth congregation, and they were sitting in the forest and streaks of the sun was shining down on them just here and there, getting the word. And I'm, as usual, always too long, too late, preaching too long. And I preached so long until the congregation became hungry for physical food. Now here on page 77, he writes at the top, preaching in the sun, Elijah. And at the bottom there, on page 77, he writes, the fifth Elijah, third Moses, and third Jesus were reflected in the fourth Elijah. Now, notice that whole paragraph continues there, which you can read carefully later on in your homes. We have already read it. Now look, our brother William continues to say, that is why we find God reflected on different occasions in the different dreams and visions that were given to God's prophets. Now, look, there on that top of the page 78, because he continues to read there, he continues, let's read a little further on this page, starting from that paragraph, and they, some of them, got tired, so they just got up, went out to get them some food, started going out. I said, don't, I had two climaxes. I wanted to meet in my sermon, and the Lord has given to me. And any preacher knows when you really know it's God has given it to you. You just burning to tell the people. And on the left, he writes, burning, and he draws a Star of David. And above, there, on that page, at the top, he writes, fourth Elijah, a dash, the first climax in the afternoon. Fifth Elijah, dash, the second climax in the evening. Now, look, on page 123 from the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1099 tells us, he was Elohim, the Eternal, but in him was thought, he wanted to become material, and what did he do? Then he spoke a word, and the word was materialized. On 123 at the bottom, he writes there, in reference to that paragraph, he writes, one has to do something to symbolize it. And above he writes, Elohim, God wanted to become flesh. That paragraph continues in 124, and it says, that's the whole picture from Genesis to Revelation. It's nothing wrong. It's Elohim materializing so he can be touched, feel. At the top, he writes, the spoken word was materialized. Elohim will be materialized in the millennium. He goes on to say, it's nothing wrong, it's Elohim materializing so he can be touched, feel, and in the millennium there is Elohim sitting on the throne, see, that's right, with all his subjects around him that he predestined before the foundation of the world, like a man building chimes or making chimes, the molder, each bell has got to ring different from the other, the same materials, but so much iron, so much steel, steal so much brass to make it give the ting. That's the way God did. He bred this one to that one, to this one, to that one, to this one, to that one, till he got exactly what he wanted. And he draws on the left a Star of David, and he writes upwards, bell. And he writes at the bottom, the bells, and their making. We'll turn now to 148, where he also speaks to us there in paragraph 1321. It says, you have to do something to symbolize it, like a man put some salt in a cruse and throw it in the water and said, thus saith the Lord, let there be sweet water. And another one, Jesus picked up water and poured it into a jug and made wine out of it. You've got to have something to symbolize it. That's what that was, that went up in the air and come down, that started that little whirlwind. Within 24 hours, it had shook that mountain till it cut a ridge around it. On Sunset Mountain, when the Spirit commanded him to throw a stone into the air, and he draws on the right a cornerstone and the ages, and above he writes, do something to symbolize it. In this other message, the opening of the seventh seal, which Dr. William Soto Santiago preached on April 28th of 1991 in Calle, Puerto Rico, it tells us, that is why we, at the end of time, although we did not have the privilege of receiving one of the seven angel messengers ministering in our language, the message of one of the ages of the seven ages of the Gentile church, for the end of time, the chosen ones have the greatest promise of all the promises, the promise of the second coming of the Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the opening or materialization of the seventh seal. We have the great blessing of receiving that angel who was very outstanding for the seventh messenger. Therefore, to those who will be living in this time and territory where it materialized, the seventh seal, where the seventh seal is opened in its fulfillment, it will be the language in which the seventh seal will be opened. It will be the language in which the thunders would utter their voices. This will be the language in which will be spoken in the area, in the place where the seventh seal is fulfilled. On page 74, on paragraph 637, it tells us, and one of these days, God willing, and if you don't mind, and will, and you will let me come back, I would like to come back to the island, set up a tent somewhere, and stay 4 or 5 weeks or something, so we can just have plenty of time. And he writes on the top, he writes, the Victory Island. Because remember that there is where he saw that it would be carried out in the fulfillment of the third pool, and that it would be in the great victory in divine love. That is, it would be in the great victory in divine love for the church bride. Now, look, he continues to say here. Let's look at where he tells us this part about the little room, and he speaks about divine love. Quotations, page 102, look on paragraph 880, there he tells us, but be it known to the church here and to the church hereafter. And there above he writes, the church here and hereafter. The church here, and he draws the seventh age, and the church hereafter, where he continues saying, and to the church hereafter, he draws a cornerstone to the left. If God pushes a man through a pipe, and he don't move at all until God tells him, there is no faith connected with it. It's God pushing you to something, and it's built the ministry to place to where there is nobody can say one word against it. But from henceforth, let me first speak to you in the name of the Lord. And there he writes on the right, with the name of the Lord. Before you listen, because I must go out by faith, I must do it by faith, whether I think it's right or wrong, or what I do best of my choosing, and then go do it. And surely, if this is in itself a tremendous thing that will bring to pass and make come to pass the tremendous victory in the divine love, and that's the verb before the adverb, and then it's divine love, which is God, see? And then it takes the love of God to dash out there on the front line and stand in the gap for the people, and on the left he draws a cornerstone, and inside he writes love, and he also writes above the victory in divine love. On page 54 also tells us, paragraph
464,
below there it says in that paragraph, this in itself is that big parenthesis around it, which will give and make to come pass the tremendous victory in the love divine. I don't know what that means. This will make come to pass, perhaps in the little tent, and he writes 12 by 20 there, and he draws a cornerstone, and he writes love on the right. One of these days, sitting back yonder, he'll make it known. And below he writes, in the little tent, the tremendous victory in love divine. And above he writes, God's way, and he also writes, little tent equals divine love, and all of that, notice, on an island. Now, look, our brother William continues to say, and then people will be able to hear the great mystery hidden in the seventh seal. They will be able to hear that great mystery materialized. Now, if he says they will be able to hear, that is one of the parts that we have read at the beginning, that he says, we will see the great tent cathedral appear, we will see the preachings that will be there appear. Now, what is the content of those preachings? There, in this other message, he tells us, they will be able to hear the great mystery hidden in the seventh seal. Notice, they will be able to hear that great mystery materialized, being fulfilled in the midst of human beings, to bring about the fulfillment of all the relevant divine promises for the end of time, in which is included the last trumpet or great voice of trumpet, the gathering of the elect, and the resurrection of the saints in Christ who slept in the past, and the transformation of our bodies. On page 121, from the book of quotations, on paragraph 1073, it tells us there, you are a total stranger. Now, if I went and put hands on you and said, sister, you're going to get well, you could believe that, and that would be all right. But now, what if he comes? See, that was the days gone by, back in Pentecostal days. We are living ahead of that now. We are beyond Pentecost, the same as we are Methodist and Lutherans. We are way on up to the coming of the Lord, where the ministry that Jesus Christ exercised himself has to be exactly like the stone on the pyramid, has to be so honed till every stone fits perfectly, and the church has got to get in that condition to receive the headstone, then take the whole thing in the resurrection when the body is raised up. There he writes on the bottom the resurrection, and on the left upwards he writes the cornerstone. And in another sentence, there upwards as well, his coming and the resurrection. On the right, he also writes there, or draws a cornerstone and the ages. He draws a cornerstone and the ages, and where it says, ministry that Jesus Christ exercised himself has to be exactly in above of, that is where it says, we are way on up to the coming of the Lord. From there comes a line towards the cornerstone that he drew, and where it says, the pyramid has there an arrow towards the cornerstone as well. Now, in a study, they placed him also that quote, and he writes, next to that portion, the word returns in human flesh.
La palabra, el verbo,
the word en carne, returns in human flesh.
O sea, la palabra, el verbo en carne humana,
the word returns in human flesh. He writes there in that quote, 1073, in that Bible study that they placed him, that quotation. Now, our brother William continues to say, all of this is hidden in the seventh seal. All of this is to be revealed at the end of time. That is why the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10 give the rapturing faith to the elect, the faith, the revelation to be transformed, the revelation to be raptured, and to those who departed in the past, it gives the faith to be resurrected. For all the dead in Christ will hear the voice of the Son of God and will rise. And he wrote there in that portion of the scripture, in flesh. In other words, that veil of flesh, speaking the word in human flesh, those who are in the sixth dimension will listen, will hear him, and they will rise, will hear the voice of the Son of God at the end of time. They will hear the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10. They will hear the last trumpet or great voice of trumpet. They will hear the gospel of the kingdom. God cannot reveal anything unless he reveals it in the message, and all that he has to reveal to all his children, he reveals in the final message, which is the message of the gospel of the kingdom, represented in the last trumpet or great voice of trumpet, and represented in the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10. That is the voice of the Son of God, the voice of the Son of Man. It is the voice of the Lord, which will shake not only earth, but the heavens as well, which we see in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, and we are going to read that portion there from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 25 and onwards, it says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now notice, in the same message, a little further on, he tells us, in the same one we were reading, now, everything is moving in the direction of that promise, and so am I, and you tell me, and so are we. And all that is under the seventh seal. That is why the angel flew to another person, and another place, and another tabernacle, and it was said to the seventh messenger, I will meet you there. This will have a double fulfillment, at least. To whom he was saying, I will meet you there? To Elijah. Notice, the ministry of Elijah. The ministerial spirit of Elijah will be there no longer in its fourth manifestation, but in its fifth manifestation. And when the elect return, where do you think they will arrive? In other words, the elect of the sixth dimension. Where do you think they will arrive? Where the pillar of fire is, where Jesus Christ is revealing himself in that third pool. Notice, where it is that those who will be resurrected will arrive? Where the pillar of fire is, where that pillar of fire is in that instrument, where he is veiled and revealing in that third pool. Now look, in a writing there, he writes us,
los terremotos en forma
earthquakes
consecutiva
will occur consecutively,
estarán sucediendo, y será un
and it will be a time
confusión
of great confusion
en todas las naciones,
in all nations.
El tiempo de la resurrección,
the time
tanto,
of the resurrection of the saints,
Cristo,
the believers in Christ,
los
the members
de su iglesia,
of his church,
y ocurrirá,
and the transformation of the believers who are alive will take place, and then we will be 30 to 40 days on earth. And he writes in the tent, because it is in the tent, notice, where that manifestation of the pillar of fire is in this end time, carrying out that work through that instrument in the midst of the church bride. And where will they come? Well, where the pillar of fire is. And where that instrument is, the pillar of fire is there. 30 to 40 days on earth, and he writes there on the top in the tent, and then will come the rapture of the church bride with Christ. That was a writing. And look, on page 52 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 449, it tells us, Father, this little group, I want to meet them there on that great day of the rapture. And there he draws a little cornerstone above. When we get together, and he draws another cornerstone on the right. See them come running from nation to nation, getting together. Who is the one that has the ministry of gathering? Notice, it is the Lord carrying out through the ministries of Moses and Elijah, carrying out that harvest, which is the claiming work, who has to the Holy Spirit be operating those ministries to carry out that claiming work, and that name has to do with the work that he is carrying out. We which are alive and remain shall no hinder them which are asleep. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise first, and then we'll meet them, and then be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And there at the bottom he writes, I will see you on the island. And above he writes, the trumpet and the resurrection and the rapture. And he writes again, the rapture. Now, our brother William continues to say, therefore, let us be watching for that glorious stage, which will be a blessing for Puerto Rico, the Caribbean, and all Latin America, and also for the Hebrew people, because there it will be fulfilled. When they see it coming for the Gentile bride, then they will say, but this is the one we are waiting for. This is what we are waiting for. Of which on page 22, to that paragraph 176, there he tells us, in that portion he says, and there is them two witnesses, and then they tormented the church or the world by their preaching and receiving back the Jews and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on. When they see Jesus coming for the bride, they will say, lo, this is our God who we waited on, that's him. But he's not coming for them, he comes for his bride. And further down, he writes there, the same thing, those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before coming now of the persecution, running down them back into the homeland. It's shooing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride and they see him, they will say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He will rise with healing in his wings. At the top, he writes, the Jews see Christ coming for the bride. Moses and Elijah and their preachings torment. Now, notice, he will rise with healing in his wings. There on the top, he writes, page 12, paragraph 96 and 97. Now, what does that page say? There is the fulfillment of the tenth vision. Do you see where they are going to see him? They will see that messianic ministry, the ministry of the second coming of the Lord, carrying out those miracles and wonders where they are going to recognize him. And also on page 41, paragraph 334, there it tells us, it says, Oh, Joseph, when he seen little Benjamin standing there, that's on the right, he writes, Joseph, that's his little brother. You see little Benjamin now up over yonder, sitting over there, the tribes of the earth of the Jews returning back there, where there will be 144,000 of them standing there to receive Christ. When they see him coming, they will say, lo, this is our God who we've waited on. Then they will see the pierced. Where did this come? He said, in the house of my friend. And they will wail, and they will cry, and each family, their tribes of David and Nephilim, and all will separate themselves, each family, and weep to themselves when they see him standing in the air, the one they pierced. And on the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and above he writes, the Jews will see Christ coming and will say, this is our God. And our brother William continues saying here, but the elect from among the Gentiles will say, this is also what we were waiting for. And it came directly from heaven to us, a heavenly blessing that has come to us, and we will share it with other human beings who long for this blessing. And as the Jews brought the message to the Gentiles, the gospel of grace, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, when Peter brought it to the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius, and Paul then spread it throughout the Gentiles, just as Peter and Paul, there he's quoting Ages on page 30, thus, the Gentiles will take it back to the Jews. And what will they take back to the Jews? The gospel of the kingdom. And who takes the message to the Jews? Revelation chapter 11, the two olive trees, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. That portion of Ages, page 30. That portion is on page 41 on the paragraph 333. There is a... That portion is there, it says. Now, when is the gospel returning to the Jews? When the day of the Gentile is finished, and he writes, dispensation of grace, the gospel, and above that he writes, the gospel of the kingdom, is ready to go to the Jews. Oh, if I could just foretell you a little something that's fixing to happen right here. See? Right in this day, you see? It's fixing to happen. We get it in the church age. And this great thing is fixing to happen. We'll carry over to Revelation 11, meaning Revelation 11, and picked up those two prophets, Elijah and the Moses, returning back again to the Jews. We're ready for it. Everything is setting in order, just ready. This Gentile message, as the Jews brought it to the Gentiles will take it right back to the Jews again, and the rapture will come. And there on the top he writes, the Gentiles, Moses and Elijah, take the message to the Jews, and the rapture will come. And also on 333, on that paragraph, on the top of the beginning of that paragraph, he writes, the Gentile day equals dispensation of grace. And he also writes Moses and Elijah. Now, on page 130, look, he also tells us something there. On the paragraph 1153, It tells us the ministry will be Moses and Elijah changing and calling Israel from the Jewish tradition. Listen, from the Jewish traditions that they had been mixed up in. Being prophets, they will believe him, calling them to the Feast of the Atonement, Christ, letting them recognize Christ. They will say, he is coming back, he will be here. The Jews will be gathering, things like that. And then when he comes, he will say, here I am. And above he writes, they call Israel from Jewish tradition to the Feast of Atonement, Moses and Elijah. And our brother William continues to say, and if the Gentiles will bring it to the Hebrews, then the ministry of the two olive trees of Moses and Elijah comes forth from among the Gentiles to the Hebrew people. It comes forth from among the Gentiles in the great mystery of the seventh seal, for the seventh seal will cover the fourth seal and the sixth seal as well, because just as the sixth seal is the two olive trees for Israel, Moses and Elijah is the seventh seal for the elect from among the Gentiles, of which, in the book of quotation, he tells us, page 128, paragraph 1143, it tells us, under the seventh trumpet is to Israel the same as the seventh seal was to the church. See? There he writes, above of the seventh seal, he writes Moses and Elijah. And above of seventh trumpet, he also writes Moses and Elijah. See? Because it is the same. Now, our brother William continues saying, what is the sixth seal for Israel is the seventh seal for the elect from the Gentiles, the coming of the Lord with his angels for the elect of the Lord among the Gentiles is the seventh seal, and the seventh seal for Israel will be the sixth seal, the ministry of Moses and Elijah, which will be manifested in the midst of the chosen Gentiles, operating and fulfilling in all its fullness the tenth vision. These words of greeting, which we will be listening to at this time, he tells us, in this brief greeting, many important things there. Therefore, we stand up and thus leave in these words of greeting our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.